So this morning, during my semi-meditation, I was time traveling, not in my DeLorean. I was time traveling in my mind, and I was imagining a time thousands and thousands of years ago, and there was a group of people. They were in a circle, looking down at the ground, and as I came closer in my mind and watching this picture, I saw that someone was on the ground, obviously not alive anymore, obviously passed away. And of course the people were crying, they were mourning. There was another special human there that seemed to take a special interest in this person that had passed, and they were shaking rattles and bones and had a headdress on, and they were doing some sort of ceremony. And it occurred to me that I could imagine this scenario, that even tens of thousands of years ago, the humans that were wandering around had the same level of intelligence as we had. Maybe not the same skill set, obviously, but the same level of intelligence. How were they reacting when one of their own died or passed away? And would there be someone among them who, being a little bit more curious about this state where a person is no longer breathing, no longer moving, rigid, and then finally cold? And I know this is rather graphic, but that's what happens. So I imagine that there might be this special person within that group that would decide to copy what they saw. In other words, to become rigid, unmoving, to slow the breath, to slow the heartbeat, to, in essence, play dead. And to me, that has a striking resemblance to meditation. Because when we practice, we are sitting very still, making as little noise as possible. Eyes opened, eyes closed, doesn't matter. One of the only reasons I keep my eyes open when I meditate is so I won't fall asleep or drift off too much. It helps me, and I will open and close my eyes throughout meditation. So we have this person that decides to copy the one that they have seen that is no longer moving, no longer breathing, rigid and cold. And in that posture of meditation, I'm sure that playing dead like this while lying down led to sleep. So eventually they decided, guess we better sit up and try to keep our eyes open a little bit so we don't fall asleep. And there was this process of learning how to emulate this state without falling asleep. In other words, sitting very still, taking as few breaths as possible, quiet, unmoving. So these early pioneers of what we now call meditation, I am positive they experienced the same things that some of us do when we sit. Our friend Yogananda mentions this, and he called it dying daily. And that is kind of a rough translation of samadhi as well. When one of the gurus would pass away, leave the body, it's called maha samadhi. And samadhi is like this. When you experience it in your meditation, there can be points where you feel that you are letting go and falling into a void of where you may never return. An interesting spot. So, the practice of dying daily, the journey into this place, what happens there? What happens when we look down and we see this other human no longer breathing, no longer with us, where do they go? Do they live on? And certainly, even thousands and thousands of years ago, there would be people among us who had what we might call psychic abilities, let's say, or they were very sensitive to other people's feelings and emotions, or they could see beyond this veil of illusion into some other place. Their process may have been to connect with the spirits of our beloveds that had passed on. I'm sure this has been going on forever. Now, I'm not saying I understand any of this and or believe in it, or I'm just reporting something that came up and has come up many times before after I finish my meditation, which I just did. And this is that interesting place where, though we are still here in this body, we can experience something that would be very close to what might happen when we expire. And to me, this is, in essence, kind of what meditation is like at some point within your practice. You may be experiencing this, dipping into what it might be like to pass from this place. And when we bring in our pal Ramana Maharshi's method of self-inquiry, where does it point for you? As I investigate it and have been for many years now, in asking the question, who am I? What I come to is, well, I don't know. But I do have some ideas. I can say with assurity that I don't know, but I can also say that I know that I'm not the thoughts that are in my mind or my memory, my past experiences, my opinions, my feelings, my emotions. Though feelings and emotions are more powerful than thought and work differently on our system, it's a hard thing to say, you know, I'm not my feelings. I'm not the emotions that arise. So am I just a thought? And I would say, well, that's one way to put it. Yes. Yes. There is the arising of the I, and for me, and the journey of pinpointing the arising of the I am Robert, definitely comes from my brain, my mind, electrical things, brain juice, that gigantic, crazy spaghetti organ in my head, spinning stuff around. And I'm also Robert in the body, with all of the responsibilities the body has. And this Robert idea, having to take care of all of those needs and wants and desires. My conclusion is, who am I? Well, I don't know. But I know that I'm not my thoughts and feelings. And I know I'm not this body. This feels like an amazing bone skeleton machine thingamajig that I'm driving around in. But am I spirit? Am I something outside of that? Am I soul? And what is the source of I? And I see that source of I as my mind. It's in my brain. And I know that in deep connection with this thing that I say is the source of I, that could be also labeled as the self with a capital S, meaning this unnameable source that you confront and abide in your meditation practice. The feeling that there is some other being, some spirit, some intelligence beyond your mind, beyond the thoughts that you have, beyond the emotions, beyond the tangible, beyond the physical, beyond the material. There is an experience of a something. And the way that that something arises in the brain, in the mind, is what I've explained before, is this feeling of, first of all, not being alone, being held by something. It feels like love. It feels like a loving presence that knows you exist. And once again, the Occam's razor here is, and being very critical and analytical, and dropping away all things that can't be pointed to or proven, we would say, oh, that's, again, just mind stuff. That's just my mind again. That's the driving conclusion that I always arrive at. Well, this all seems to be arising in my mind. And in Buddhism, we could refer to that as what they say is big mind, suchness, consciousness. The thing that is pointed to very often is almost like a house of mirrors, you would say, in your brain, in that process of awakening to, I am. Okay, that seems like a thought. Yeah, that's a thought. That's just thinking. So if I'm not who I think I am, then who am I? And you ask the question in the inquiry, and you see, well, there's this arising of phenomena that we would call thinking and thought, ideas and concepts. Well, when this brain stops, then we could assume that there is no more Robert, because it was happening in his mind. There's no more Robert. It's gone. It's a sad thing to think that this would just be it. Did we invent an other place, a heaven? Did we create that concept? And is that based upon the fear that we have of not knowing what is beyond? And that was the catalyst to create this thing we call meditation now, so we could somehow try to find the place, the other side. Is there the place where something goes, this consciousness that we can call ourselves? Does it travel on? Does it continue somehow? And through very deep meditation, we can experience that we feel like we are something beyond this body, this mind, these thoughts. We can feel it in meditation. And we can feel in meditation that everything else is alive, awake, conscious. And in that knowing that everything is alive and awake and conscious, there is a peaceful place in that knowing. Do all things go on? Whales and rabbits and birds, dogs and cats and guinea pigs, are they going on to another place? Is there a place beyond this where all of the individual souls that have ever existed now reside? I can say, I don't know. I can only speak from this place with the Robert that has a brain that is thinking stuff. I can't speak to you from the place of the Robert thing that is not in a body with a brain and thoughts and thinking. So I say then, oh yeah, it's all mind. It's all just thinking. It's all just thought. It's all just an invention of these humans. That invention being that there's some purpose to be here, that there's some reason, that there's something beyond this. What am I getting to? I'm getting to, outside of all of that thinking, the things that I know that are real. I know that this place where we live is beyond a miracle. And I mentioned this in an earlier podcast. As I look out the window here, watching the birdies in the feeder, and my beautiful friend, the juniper tree, and the pinyon pine out there, and the beautiful red rocks, and I say, wow, this place is amazing. This place is something else. So, beyond thought, beyond thinking, beyond there being a possible something else or somewhere else, better than this, I find that highly unlikely. After almost 30 years of meditation, can I point to knowing? And I can say, no, I can't point to knowing everything. I can't point to saying definitively there is a soul and there's a part of us that lives on. And I have these funny visions of the earth and the atmosphere being like a glass and the planet being inside of this glass, and there we all are inside this one glass. And I say, well, that's kind of like a glass of water. In other words, even though we are all extremely unique and individual, even each grain of sand on the planet is an individual, we're all riding around in this glass, as I see it. We're all riding around in this crazy spaceship flying through infinite nothingness. Wow, how cool is that? That is just beyond belief, isn't it? No matter how long we try, we're never really truly going to understand any of this. But when we simplify it, we can see that the things we may look right past, the mundane, everything that's right in front of our face, is absolutely mind-blowing. That's what I see. In the process of meditation and going inward, finding peace there in a place where I feel like I can rest or stop and stop trying to figure out how the world works and just go for the ride and enjoy it. Just be here with this and see it for what it is, a remarkable thing. As you are, we are pretty interesting, us humans, and we have the capability, we have the potential to awaken to this and love each other and take care of each other and have compassion and empathy. And I care about all of you. Thank you so much for listening. This is Robert. Talk to you soon.